Speaking of Croke Park, it's All Ireland hurling final day. Tommy Welch is at Croke Park. Afternoon, sir.
Diego Ita Joe, I guess Faltago Park and Croke Egg. For the last 50 years, in years ending in 8, Joe, we've had 5 different All Ireland champions. Is this a positive sign for Limerick? Because Galway were one of those. 50 years ago, in 1968, Wexford became All Ireland champions for the 5th time in their history. The Quigleys, Tony Doran, Jack Berry were the heroes that day. And Dan Quigley, the captain, will be named Hurler of the Year. I saw his grandson Dan score a goal in an under-7 match last week. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. 40 years ago in 1978, Cork would win the final leg of their magical 3-in-a-row. JBM got the first score of the game, and he also scored the game's only goal. John Horgan, the left corner back, imagine, was the Hurler of the Year. 30 years ago in 1988, Galway would achieve the magnificent double for the first time in their history. Conor Hayes is actually only sitting 2 or 3 seats over across from me. Nicky English will be the championship's top scorer, and the great Tony Keady was a man of the match in that final. He didn't receive the man of the match award that night, as he wasn't at the banquet, but when asked about it years later, Joe, he responded, "They should just have given it to me at half time." 20 years ago in 1998, the fateful County Offaly would become champions after a magical summer. They defeated the heavy favourites Kilkenny in the final. Brian Whelan, who I saw just a few minutes ago, he was named on the 1990s team of the decade. He was supposed to be sick and ill all week, but the Prince of Wing backs, the only modern player on the team of the millennium, was moved up into the full forward line and ended up with 1-6 and became the man of the match. And the Liam McCarthy went back to the faithful county. 10 years ago in 2008, Kilkenny would give one of the greatest team performances ever given in an All-Ireland final. Their performance was rewarded by the fact their whole team received a Man of the Match award. Owen Larkin, that genius from the village, who I used to hate marking in training, by the way, would become Hurler of the Year. Which all leads us today, Joe, the 19th of August 2018. Who will be All-Ireland champions? Who will see their dreams turn into reality? Whose names will be etched in history forever? Joe, no matter what happens today, in the eyes of their supporters, families and friends, as the old TV advertisement used to say, these players, they're not men, but giants.
Alright, Tommy, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much. Great to have you with us.
See you later, lads.
How can I follow that?
Yeah, sure, listen, it's All-Ireland final day. Our listeners, yourselves, we need to bring out the best today, because that's what has to be done.
What's the atmosphere like?
Oh, the atmosphere is electric. Vincent Hogan is sitting here beside me as well. I came in the Lewis, first time ever around the city west, the kind of the stop after that. Came in my brother, my father, Simon Walt, and my sister, full car coming up. And when we got to the Red Cow, there wasn't too many people in it. A sea of green came in, and we couldn't even look to the left or right. There were so many people in it. The atmosphere is electric. We seen it in the minor team. I looked up at the clock when there was 40 minutes gone. The Galway crowd just... Now, I don't know where the Limerick crowd shouting against Kilkenny as well, maybe. But the place is buzzing. The end 17, that song was blaring out as well, and the place was going mad. So, yeah, it's just great occasion here. Yeah.
Vincent, if you've Tommy Welch's soliloquy to bring us, by all means.
No, I can't follow that, Joe.
I do remember speaking to you a couple of All-Irelands ago, and you told us that All-Ireland hurling final day, Vincent, was definitely your favourite day in any year. I don't suspect the championship we've just had has done anything to dampen that sentiment.
No, it hasn't, Joe. And I mean, to actually walk up O'Connell Street there, you just get this overwhelming feeling that this is who we are, this is what we are. And you're just so proud of a day like this, where people walk shoulder to shoulder and not even a hope of kind of aggro between supporters, just this lovely atmosphere of place. And this is a sense of place that we have here, and the Limerick numbers are just extraordinary. I think they'll probably be 3-1 by the throw-in here. And the big question is, you know, you can have all the sports psychology in the world, but these young Limerick players are going to walk out to an incredible atmosphere that Tommy was just hitting on there, and how they cope with it, nobody knows.
Anyway, there's a question in which I can't resist. Johnny, lads, who is Brian Kerr's favourite current player in world football and who's his favourite all-time player?
Well, Messi is my favourite player in current world. It's an easy one, you know. I enjoy watching lots and lots of other players, and even out of today's game, there's players playing that I love watching, like Eriksen and Mo Salah, Mane at the moment, currently in great form. My all-time favourite player, I mean, I'm old enough, I was around when Pele was playing, but I didn't see a lot of them. I saw him once in Daly Mountain, that match in the 70s, in the testimonial match against the Drums, Boa selection, bumpy dry pitch at the end of the season, it wasn't very good.
How did he do?
Ah, he was there and played. It wasn't, you know, wasn't a superlative performance by any means. But we didn't see enough of those guys, Joe, on the television. Had to wait in the World Cups. We didn't see them regularly the way we see players nowadays. See them every week, Messi, if you want to. And Maradona was a little bit the same, you know. The Italian football coverage was quite limited at that time when he was in his prime with the brilliant seasons at Napoli. So, you know, I was at the World Cup. I saw Eusebio 66. I was at two Portuguese matches. England beat them 2-1 the quarter final. The semi final. And I was at the tour place playoff when he scored against Yashin. Scored a penalty against Yashin to help Portugal win the tour place playoff. So I did see Eusebio. And one of my best days was actually to sit beside him at an Ireland Portugal match in Lansdowne Road. Talk about being scared of one of your heroes. I was afraid to even ask for his autograph. I just kind of nodded in awe sitting beside Eusebio, the black pearl of Mozambique. Anyway, there we go.
So who have you gone for?
Messi. We're seeing it for so long.
As your all-time as well?
Yeah.
Okay,
look,
fair enough.
It's going on so long. It's 12 years now, I think. The first time I saw him, I think, he was 8-in, maybe 7-in rating, playing the first team, midweek match.
Ran the pitch against, was it Villarreal? He really announced himself. He almost ran half the length of the pitch
It was a midweek match. They were down 4-1 from the first leg again to his Sociedad. I think the two Militos were playing centre half and centre forward, but he ran amok, and I had to check this. I'd heard about him, but didn't know who he was. I had to check, trying to get a hold of the team sheet. We were buried in the bowels of the stadium up in the corner. There wasn't a lot of English around or people to explain. Anyway, from that day I went, holy God, tonight. Little skinny fellow running the show, making it happen, magic with the ball at his feet, and it goes on and on and on. Just the two on Friday, was it? Friday or yesterday? Yesterday you got two, or Friday night. It just goes on and on with him, doesn't it?
The longevity is extraordinary. Can I ask you, seeing as you saw that game, because I don't know many people who were at that game, the Eusebio against England one, did Nobby Styles do a real number on him the way everyone talks about, or did that strike at the time?
You know, I was in a pram at the match. It's hard for me to give it.
You'd have a sense, though.
A deep technical analysis from the game. But
he still has his notes in his bag.
I think that was the impression, but, you know, it was about Bobby Charlton and the goals, and he scored a long range from outside the box with the hair flying up and down. Brilliant goal to win.
Do you know, I think one of the great underestimated goals is Bobby Charlton's in 68, the one that's pulled back edge of the, sort of on the angle, pulls back to him and he kind of hooks it into the goal.
In an England match?
Against Benfica for United, the 68 final. But Bobby Charlton, where he whips it in kind of edge of the area, it's a fantastic goal. Never gets talked about very much.
Jeez,
he could strike
white,
a ball.
Still black and white, was it?
Yeah. Well, it sure was.
Anyway, it was great to see Eusebio, and he was kind of, that was still his prime. The better days were just before that, in the early 60s when Benfica were better, I think, but just brilliant to see him. The elegance of his running, power, pace, battling the ball, great striker of the ball. But, you know, it was nice to sit beside him at a match someday and just admire him. He was quiet and he didn't say a lot and he just smiled. I knew I was in the presence of greatness.
No doubt. So we're at Anfield.
Comes now to Henderson inside the area, brings it to the end line, takes it to the back post, and Liverpool have got in front, and Sadio Mane scores in front of the cop, and Anfield has got absolutely wild. Jordan Henderson's deep cross to the back post, headed in by Sadio Mane, and Liverpool, they will not. not go away. They lead Chelsea by a goal to nil. Sadio Mane.
Well, again, there's options between the middle of the goals when a cross comes in. It's great play from Jordan Henderson. Jordan Henderson have been very impressed in the whole of this game with his movement, largely off the ball. He's not really had too much influence on it. But that time, checking onto his left, then back onto his right, and it's a perfect ball, stood up to the far post. Mane gets himself away from Azpilicueta. Say, it's just great feet initially, just dinks it up. That's exactly what you want to do when you get to the byline. Standing up to the far post, and it's a free header for Mane. 4 yards out, open goal. Absolutely no doubt that that ball was finding the net. Nothing more than Liverpool have deserved. They've been the most threatening throughout.
Well, it was the pressure from Mo Salah on Emerson as he looked to clear, then knocked the ball into the path of Jordan Henderson, lifted his head on the byline and spotted Sadio Mane with the freedom of Anfield at the back post, and he headed calmly into the back of the net for his 18th goal of the season in the Premier League. And that is the most crucial one so far, because it finally breaks the deadlock. And you'd have to say, the way Liverpool started this second half, they have deserved it as well.
Yeah, they started the first half in the same manner as well, but weren't able to find the net with the chances that they had maybe early on, certainly the Mo Salah chance they had early on. And they started the second half exactly the same way, and that must have been the message from Jurgen Klopp coming out here today. Start with a good tempo, start to get at them, and they've created so many problems for Chelsea.
And here they come again, but it's a heavy touch from Salah as he cuts in from the right. Luiz comes across and then just passes the ball straight out of play, and maybe Chelsea are a bit rattled after the concession of that goal. Well, Jordan Henderson's been key to everything Liverpool have done well today.
Yeah, he's
been involved, they've looked far more dangerous, pushing forward from that position from the right of the three. When he's drifted out of the game, it's when Liverpool have struggled to get any sort of a tempo. And it was his cross for Sadio Mane's goal. Mane and all the Liverpool players ran to the left to celebrate in front of the cop. Jordan Henderson came off celebrating on this near side. He knows what it means. Salah takes the shot. With one of the goals of the season, 25 yards out, smashes a shot into the top corner of the net, and Liverpool are going back on top of the Premier League, and Mo Salah is back to his very, very best. It's Liverpool 2, Chelsea 0, Mo Salah, pick it out.
What a goal, unbelievable. As soon as he steps in on his left foot, you know exactly what he's trying to do. Can he get the technique right? Can he get it away from Kepa? He does everything right. What a strike from Salah at the cop end. He is back in form, Mo Salah. You could see it, certainly that goal that he scored against Southampton, that gave him the confidence. Back midweek again, looked very, very good in the Champions League, but that is an unbelievable strike. What a goal from Salah. It's a great ball from Van Dijk initially, the long diagonal pass. He comes inside Edison. It's a poor challenge from Jorginho, who's getting out to him, but he hits it so early, Kepa can't set himself, and the pace on the strike is incredible, beyond Kepa before he can really react to it. What a goal by Mo Salah.
And you can feel it now around Anfield. They believe that maybe, just maybe, this is their season. They're heading back to the top of the Premier League. Mo Salah, 25 yards out, with the most sumptuous left-footed strike. Kepa at full stretch could do nothing as it absolutely flew by him. Kenny Dalglish leading the celebrations in the stand named after him.
What a goal, mate.
An absolutely pulsating game. There were so many subplots in it. There was so much that was just brilliant. Just the war of attrition alone was fantastic to see.
Leinster 21, Ulster 18, the final score. Andy Dunn is down on the sideline as well, and some pretty touching moments down there, Andy. Rory Best is standing quite close to you. First of all, he was over to Sean Cronin. Rory Best on crutches after being forced off early, and then over to Jacob Stockdale, because Jacob Stockdale is going to have nightmares, you'd imagine, about that moment when he didn't touch down in the corner for a long time to come.
Yeah, I mean, I've Jack Conan just coming up to me. Jack, man of the match performance today. How does it feel?
Tired. That was unbelievably tough shift. Full credit to Ulster, they threw the kitchen sink to us and they were incredible. I think we can shout it, we were a bit rusty today, not at our best, but championship sides can eat out a victory when they're not the best, and that's what we did today. So full credit to the lads, 1-23. You know, tough to see a few lads getting injured, but all the lads came on and made a massive impact, got us over the line.
What were the key points in that second half for you?
I suppose leaving the ball at the ruck, not giving them easy penalties, not overcommitting and biting in from the wider channels. We saw that try that they got in the last few minutes, lads biting in and gave them an easy score. So, you know, we'll have to do better and for the next round, and we're going to have to work hard in our D.
Was there a call from management in that last 15 minutes to tighten things up? There was a lot more driven mauls off the line out and a lot of close quarters play.
No, I think we're a pretty experienced side when it comes to this kind of situation. Where, and even the final last year, we were just keeping it tight for phases, giving them as little access as we can into the game. And I think that the lads, you know, really fronted up in the last few minutes to hold onto the ball. People are absolutely wrecked, and you know they pushed themselves for 80 minutes. So full credit to everyone.
And finally, do you realise you managed to pull your shorts up when you made that line break? One of the great multitasking moments.
Imagine if I dropped that ball because I was trying to pull up my shorts. I'd never hear the end of it.
Well done, Jack.
All right, great stuff from Jack Conan, the man of the match. The Ulster players are just doing a lap of appreciation for the supporters who were incredible today. The atmosphere was electric around the Aviva Stadium. Muscle memory was one of the first words you used when we were talking pre-match, Liam, about...
Well, Tyrone escaped from Park Talchin, as we've been saying, with that 1-point win over Meath after extra time. After the game, an emotional and angry Meath manager, Andy McEntee, spoke to Off the Ball.
It's very obvious looking at you that while you're very proud of your players and how they performed, you're very angry and you're very emotional. I don't think I'm going too far by saying that right now.
No, that's fair enough. Yeah, that's a fair comment. Look at... Where do we go now? Where do we go now? We don't. We have to wait until next January before we play a good game. That's the killer. I mean, we had the same with Waterford last week, but they have another game next week. They have a chance to put it right. We don't. So we pay the ultimate price.
What was the big issue with the referee that he had? The penalty.
There really should have been a free awarded to Meath in the dying seconds of extra time, and that would have been very kickable.
Well, after a wait since 1940, we have Limerick, the All-Ireland champions, the worthy All-Ireland champions.
They've been through a lot over the last 40 years, in a sporting capacity and maybe even in a social capacity.
They were looking down and out, but they've come back to win by 6 points. Offaly 3-16, Limerick 2 goals and 13 points. What a comeback. Limerick just somehow hadn't it in them today, and it's Wexford a win by 2 points. Limerick did their level best, but it wasn't to be. Kilkenny had a wonderful start.
The 19th of August 2018, who will be All-Ireland champions? Who will see their dreams turn into reality? Whose names will be etched in history forever?
A green wave just sweeping down towards Hill 16 now. They're attacking from all angles. Kyle Hayes again. He's got the run of the place. He's making himself at home. Picked up by McInerney. He's had his pocket picked by Morrissey. He's in. He's scoring. Oh, what a goal! Tom Morrissey with an absolute classic. Mistake by Toohey. Seized on by Peter Casey. He's got a man inside. It's Dowling who wants it. Gets it. Dowling! That's it. Shane Dowling delivers again.
I thought we were home and hosed, and credit to Galway, they came back into it and thundered into it. Joe Canning really led the way there, you know, but...
Canning, oh, it's a goal! 27 goals for Joe Canning, and this one is worth its winning goal!
Just the last couple of minutes, the last 8 or 9 minutes was just the worst ever, like from 70 on, I thought it would never end, and they were coming and coming, and they nearly caught us, you know.
Between his own 45 and 65, it's going to drop short, but where will it fall? It's in a Limerick hand. It's taken clear.